At IHM VCU, we've always been here for you. You are and always will be our top priority. We care about your financial health, and we are here. IHM VCU is a proud supporter of WQPT.
The future, that's where our minds are at Western Illinois University Quad Cities. We are innovators, searching for something new outside of the textbooks. Dog-loving, leadership-driven, world-changing. Whether you choose to study on campus or online, your future is designed on your terms. Start your future at wiu.edu/QC.
Public Affairs programming on WQPT is brought to you by the Singh Group at Merrill, serving the wealth management needs of clients in the region for over 35 years.
Illinois lawmakers passed a $53 billion budget without any Republicans voting for the measure. We talk with the leader of the Illinois House Republicans in the cities. Next week, the new Illinois state budget will go into effect. Democrats say that $53 billion budget will continue to set the state on a fiscally responsible course, but includes $400 million in spending above what Governor J.B. Pritzker requested. Republicans say that's another example of political spending by Democrats who hold a supermajority in the legislature. The budget bill also includes $725 million in new taxes. House Minority Leader Tony McCombie, Republican from Savannah, joined us with reaction. Early morning hours for this budget to be passed. Not a single Republican vote. That's not surprising. A lot of times, Republicans simply say, we have been left out. Is that what happened with this bill once again?
Well, there wasn't every Democrat on this bill either.
True.
Yeah. And it's not so much that we were left out. We are typically not involved in the process. And they'll say, yes, we were. There's appropriation committees. Well, there are always appropriation committees, but that's not the actual negotiation process. On this is the second year the Senate has been in charge of the budget, which I appreciate because then we actually do get to see the budget and we actually do know what we're going to vote on.
Because it's a 3-day almost like waiting period between when the Senate passes it and when the House can.
It has to be read three times.
Three times.
But the Senate gets their business done. And gives us an opportunity to actually look for, you know, the trouble spots.
Mm-hmm. 3,400 pages?
About that, yep.
Yeah.
So we're able to do that, and so we actually know what's in it, but we're not able to put input of what's actually in it. So we always talk about our shared priorities between Republicans and Democrats, and those are typically in the budget. And again, they are this year, but we never get to the point of what our priorities are. And sometimes that's even kind of scary to think about saying what they are up front, because with that level of trust, because sometimes you think, well, if we say what they are, will they just be excluded mm-hmm. or will they be held hostage for a vote? We just want to make sure that we have a fair negotiation, but we don't even get to that point. And that's the problem.
Let's talk about the budget in particular, because Democrats say fiscally responsible, we're paying our bills, and we're still reinvesting in Illinois. Republicans are pretty much saying there's more fat that could have been cut, and you point to the tax increases that are in this budget.
Well, it's obvious that that's incorrect. Just days before the budget passed, the governor's team sends out a memo saying we need to cut $800 million. So all of a sudden, a couple of days later, we don't have to. Mm-hmm. But then they do pass a bill, a revenue enhancement, a tax increase of $746.5 million. Well, there's their $800 million. They didn't do any cuts. What they did was do a revenue enhancement, a tax increase on businesses. So, but what they could have done was not pass the member initiative dollars, Dem member initiative dollars in the amount of $625 million. So there's three articles in the amount of $625, and that would have helped. So maybe this year, some communities don't get the extras, right? not saying that they're not important, but there are things in there that may not be as important. Maybe this is the year a community doesn't get a park shelter or a splash pad, or a business, a taco business, doesn't get that little extra grant. These are things that we all have to cut back right now, and that was $625 million. So there was a better way. So to say it's fiscally responsible, no. Does it pay the bills? Yes. Does it pay for education? Yes. Does it do some things, great things for our most vulnerable? Yes. Is there the Smart Start program? Yes. Great program. The question is on these new programs, why we're spending this way, are they going to be sustainable in the future? And that's a real concern.
There has been a concern that revenue was going to be greatly diminished in the coming year, and that you had to have a budget that was preparing for that. Is Illinois prepared, do you believe, for any type of fiscal crisis still ahead?
No, I think we're about $1 billion in the hole. We're spending about a $1 billion with a B right now on non-citizens illegal between education, housing, and healthcare. So that puts us behind. And this is money that is being spent, Illinois tax dollars, on things that are needed for Illinoisans, especially in our more urban areas. Here in the Quad Cities included, this is an impact here. And that's unfortunate, and this is something that we're going to have to pay for if we don't handle it.
One tax that proved to be expendable, and it made the state look good, was the grocery tax, the 1% mm-hmm. grocery tax, mm-hmm. which the state would collect, but it was for municipalities. Mm-hmm. Is that not correct? Mm-hmm. And so by saying, oh, we're getting rid of that, it makes the state sound like they're doing something, but it wasn't their money anyhow. But by getting rid of it, it really is impacting municipalities. I am sure that you have heard about that at the local scene. With that being eliminated in 2026? Or is
yes.
it 2025?
No, 2025.
It is
The
beginning of next year.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, next 2025. Wow. Give us a calendar, we'll be great. How do you see that as an impact, and have you heard a lot from municipalities?
Hey, I'm a Republican. I'm also a consumer. Anytime we can cut taxes, let's do it. But that certainly is a concern. I'm a previous mayor, as you're aware, mm-hmm. and the biggest concern that we have in municipal government is the LGDF, the local funds that the state still has not put to the normal amount. They say, well, the governor would say, well, you're still making an increase in gaming. You have so many more increases,
right.
But then we're going to go ahead and tax that at 1%. So we're going to take a hit there. So you're going to take a hit on the grocery tax. Now you're going to take a hit on the 1% for the video gaming. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're going to collect that tax. And it's kind of hypocritical. So the state collects the tax for the municipalities. But you know what else happens? And this is when we're going back to that $746 million tax increase, is car dealers collect a tax for the state. And then that gets redistributed, but they've capped that. So now that's going to be about a $60,000 hit per every car dealer. So think about my small car dealership in Savannah, Illinois. They collect the tax for the state, required to collect the tax for the state. That will now be capped at $12,000 a year. So they have to collect it all, and capped at $12,000, and it's going to cost them about $60,000 to collect that.
And you're expecting that to be passed on?
Yeah. Who's going to pay for it? I am.
The consumers.
The consumer. So it's kind of funny money, but I mean, I love it. But if you really want to be genuine, let's really look at true tax reform. Let's look at property tax reform. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about education, because that's usually an area where everyone agrees, not necessarily where the spending is, but the fact that you need to back education. Mm-hmm. K through 12, there's been great changes in funding. Is it the road that you think we should be taking, or is there a better way?
Well, unfortunately,
because you're talking about property taxes.
Yeah,
once again,
absolutely.
It gets back to that.
Yeah. An evidence-based funding model, I was hopeful, and but we're seeing that it's not as effective as we had hoped. Mm-hmm. And, you know, common sense tells us throwing more money at an issue doesn't always work. But we're seeing huge cost increase, and obviously that's a problem. And so continuing to throw $350 million isn't seeing help always, but I'm glad that we're still doing that and we're funding the schools at that level and continue to do so. But we have to figure out a different way. We're still seeing schools having issues. We're still seeing schools consolidate. We're still seeing our population leave. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big part of our property tax issues too, right? We need to be growing our tax base instead of our tax rate. I don't know the perfect answer. I do know that we do need to tweak the evidence-based funding model. I'm out of being in leadership. I'm not in that committee anymore. So I'm not into the weeds, into the thick of it like I was before. I am a little nervous that they're looking at an evidence-based funding model for higher ed, because I think that formula will be crafted in a way that will be detrimental to our higher ed.
And I was going to go there next. There's been such a flight. There's been such a flight of students over the last 5 years that had gone to other, you know, basically because of those 2 years where there the funding gap for state universities. Mm-hmm. But we're seeing a resurgence in students, so that at least you're not bleeding students now. I mean, you're very knowledgeable of what's going on at Western Illinois University. Mm-hmm. Is the worst over, or do you think that there's a real problem with brick and mortar education, higher education in the state or elsewhere?
Yeah, the cost is a real problem. I mean, I have my friends and parents that are all around saying, is the debt that they're going to have when they're done worth it? I mean, even just now writing a job description, my chief of staff said, are you sure you want it to say a bachelor's? Mm-hmm. Because that's going to, one, limit us in this position. And people are having it less and less and less. The job experience may be there. And it's valid. And it makes me nervous of the future of higher ed and everything going on in the bigger world of politics and all of how polarizing it is. You hear about all that in higher ed. Mm-hmm. And so I think that also keeps parents away from having their kids go there.
And are you seeing that, do you think, in Illinois, or is that more of a national problem?
I think that's a national problem. Yeah. I think when you go to more of not a state school, I don't think it's a problem in Western Illinois University, but when you're starting to, that keeps them here, I think. You know, smaller schools are better. But when you're looking at a school that's going to cost $80,000 or $120,000, you know, that's ridiculous. I'm just going to be honest. That's ridiculous.
You've got also families, and we were talking about, I got to find it real quick, the child tax credit for children 12 and under. Democrats are touting that as a major plus. Was that something that you supported?
Of course. Absolutely. I think that's a great thing. I don't think it went as far as the governor wanted it to, but it's a baby step. Mm-hmm. So I think that is a great thing, and I think it's going to help a lot of families.
And you do know, you know, the governor's initiative also for pre-K education, make sure that children are getting that type of child care. I mean, that's something that seems that we really learned from the pandemic is child care and pre-K is so critically important.
Yeah, and that's a smart start. And I know that mm-hmm. the governor and his team were here in the Quad Cities, and that's one of the programs that I hope can be sustainable. And think they're looking in that first year. I think it's $250 million, $100 million in facilities. It could put 5,000 more kids into preschool. And when you're talking about the root problem, you know, this is a different environment. You know, when we were kids and parents were able to stay home and you would have, you know, one parent out of the home, one parent in the home, it's just a different environment than it is today. And, you know, we're looking at root causes, and this might be a way to have kids, you know, have a base, right? So I hope and I pray that this is a sustainable program, but
tell me about
this, your spending.
Besides the budget, tell me about this legislative session. I mean, what do you see as far as the Republican agenda was concerned that went really well with this session? What was the big victory?
Well, for us, we're in the super minority. We have 40 out of 118 right. seats. So what we can do is, and what we have to do and what we do do is we have to hold our counterparts accountable. We really push for ethics reform, transparency, and we are the checks and balance. We need to bring more balance to that, to the General Assembly, but we have done that really well. We make sure to ask questions and bring to light things that the public doesn't know. A lot of things that happen under the dome, people don't know about. And so we make sure to bring that to light. And how your tax dollars spent is still very important, regardless of whether it's in the Quad Cities, the suburbs, downtown Chicago, or in Metropolis in Southern Illinois. So these are things that are very important. We've unfortunately don't have the number of bills that are passed like they're on our counterparts, but there are a group of Dems that we get along with very well and that are very helpful. We have five working groups that have legislative bills that oftentimes are picked up by our Dem counterparts and are ran, and we're able to support them and also work through other bills. We've had bills that we were able to. Charlie Meyer had a bill that we've worked with the governor's team, helping with our most vulnerable, with our workshops. It ended up not passing the Senate for a higher pay for the workers. It was something that was extremely scary to the workshops. We didn't want them to have to close down because mm-hmm. they want to have the higher pay for the wage work for the workers. But we also don't want them to close and not have a service for the clients. But because of Charlie's advocacy, they say, you know, you're in the super minority, you have no value. You know, how are you relevant? Well, this is how we're relevant. We're able to help negotiate. We have talent within our caucus. We have farmers, we have doctors, we have teachers, we have, you know, all the spectrum of folks. And so we're able to add value and help make bad bills better bills and good bills. And luckily, we have people on the other side of the aisle that take value and want our input. And we're very thankful for that.
It is an election year. What are Republicans going to be running on as far as state government is concerned?
Oh, right now and every year, the kitchen table items are still extremely important. Mm-hmm. We've already polled around the state, and obviously the where we're spending our dollars is still very is a very high ticket item. Everything is so expensive, and if you're grocery shopping, if you're buying gas, if you're the one spending money in your family, you know what the cost is. And we're going to be getting into some very high energy costs. And you know, this week, you know, just turned on my air conditioner yesterday, and it wasn't working. And you know, people are going to see a very high energy cost this month, and it's going to be very expensive. And we're going to be getting into ethics. Madigan trial is going to be starting. His chief of staff just went to prison in Florida. Ethics is still a huge thing that the Democrats want to address in Illinois, even though it's standing right there in front of them. It's an easy win for them. And these are issues that are concerning to everybody, regardless of politics. And it's right there in front of them. So we're going to run on the obvious.
But as you said, Republicans, you're facing the headwinds. You're the minority against a supermajority. Mm-hmm. Chipping away is important at this point. I mean, do you have a real chance to chip away at that supermajority for 2024?
Oh, yeah. I'm very realistic. We're not going to say we're going to take over the majority. No. We're going to do incremental change. Our goal is the map, and that has to be done. You know, that's 10 years, every 10 years. And they, you know, just look at the example of this budget. It took 3 votes for the Democrats to get their budget, and they had to break their own rules mm-hmm. to do it. So that just shows the dysfunction within their own house. So we are very optimistic that we are going to make some incremental change this year.
But supermajorities often are not monolithic, as you know.
I mean, yeah, yeah.
Because you see that in both Iowa and in
sure.
Illinois,
mm-hmm.
Which is part of democracy, I
right,
guess.
Right, right. Yeah. I don't think a supermajority is healthy for any. I don't care if it's Republican or Democrat. You have to have more balance, right? Because that's when you do have conversation. That's mm-hmm. when you have better legislation. So that's my goal, is for us to have more balance.
We talked a lot about fiscal bills, but there's so many social issues as well. And one of the biggest in Illinois, of course, is the abortion question, which is also huge nationwide. Abortion bills prohibiting helping other states investigate people coming to Illinois for services. Protecting abortion rights for a medical emergency. Those were two major bills this year.
I don't know how much farther Illinois can go when it comes to abortion. I don't know very many people that feel that medical emergencies are abortions. So, like I said, I don't know how much farther we can go in Illinois.
But is it because of Roe and the elimination of Roe, you're seeing states are becoming almost islands. Either they're totally against abortion or they have very open policies towards abortion. Is that healthy for society, I guess, or at least for government, that you have different states as opposed to a national standard, so to speak?
I've always been an advocate for local control. Mm-hmm. So for me, states' rights, I think, is the way to go. So as it stands right now, although I don't agree with Illinois' stance, because it went, like you just said, it went farther to the spectrum. And that's what also happens with the supermajority, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's the way it is. That's the state I live in. I don't agree with how far it went. I would like it to be a little more like Iowa, but that's where it is right now. But I do believe in the local control and the state's rights.
Let's talk. We just have a few moments left. Let's talk about your legislative initiatives. I mean, is there something that you hit out of the ballpark? Is there something you're still working on that you just want to get passed?
Oh, gosh, so
yes,
many things.
I know.
Pam Knight still?
That's where I was going to go,
I mean, come on. And still, there's still so many things that...
Well, and explain what...
Yes. Any of your viewers have got to know her name.
Right.
I mean, and now Deidre Silas, a similar thing. So
right.
DCFS workers doing God's work, right? Serving our most vulnerable population, our children that are in really bad situations, killed on the job while protecting these children. And common sense legislation that I really feel closing the loopholes of protecting them or at least punishing the folks that are killing them, right? And I know very different situations with both Deidre and Pam, but that being said, can't get that legislation passed. The House passes it and then it gets held up in the Senate saying penalty enhancements do not deter crimes. Well, this is not a penalty enhancement. This is not, but yet they do it all the time. We've passed over 96 penalty enhancements on them. I mean, you can't pet a bear and we're gonna give you a penalty enhancement, right? I mean, we do it all the time, and simple things like that. I've done some really good things with our caucus and with the help of the Dems on fentanyl. We've got a lot of work to do there. So I feel really proud of that. Obviously some criminal justice reform. I may be a little left on that, but that's okay. I think that's a good thing. I would really like to do some more with our agencies. The IDFPR is a nightmare right now. We have nurses that cannot get their license, 8 to 12 weeks when you can just right there get it in Iowa. You can't pay for your license online. Here I have a nurse that needs to pay $30. She can't do it, can't call in a credit card, can't do it online, has to drive to Springfield or Chicago when I can buy a lottery ticket online on my phone on an app. I mean, it's just stupid things that we really hope that we can do, but that's by bringing it to light. Unfortunately, having to try to embarrass an agency to get them to do the right thing. But really, yeah, I mean, we've got a lot of work to do, but really proud of the fentanyl work that we're doing, and I'm really going to keep working on Pam Knight and Deidre Silas. But so many fun things.
Our thanks to House Minority Leader Tony McCombie, Republican from Savannah. We like to take some time to showcase musical talent in the cities, and that brings us to Daniel Stratman. He has Southern California roots, but he considers himself a troubadour with an average Joe persona. Here's Daniel Stratman with Satisfied.
The melody always comes first, and if I'm lucky, I come up with a couple of scratch lyrics, and if it's worth writing down, I always have paper and tablets around, and I start writing down the melody line and maybe a few lyrics.
Mm-hmm. had a night that I will never forget. You stole my heart and swept me away. Tomorrow hasn't even happened yet. There's nothing more that I wanna say. I'm satisfied. Mm-hmm. I'm satisfied. Mm-hmm. Well, I've been out walking on these city streets, following the neon lights. There's somewhere you'd like to go where we could meet. Anywhere, wherever you like. I'm satisfied. Mm-hmm. I'm satisfied. Mm-hmm. Now I can't seem to get you out of my head, watching your every move. And I'm hanging on to every word you said. You inspire me, oh yes you do.
The first song is called Satisfied, and it just means those moments in life where you're actually happy. You know, you're kind of just kind of satiated. It could be a dinner out with a friend. It could be a moment that you have with the one that you love. It could just be a quiet Sunday morning where the sun's coming through the window. And you just have those little quick moments where just like everything's okay. Right now, everything's good.
Yes, I will. Mother Nature's humming along. I'm satisfied. Mm-hmm. I'm satisfied.
I had a friend of mine that told me years and years ago, he said, Daniel, you're driven. And there's just something, you know, I think we all have a passion. We all have a reason for living. And, you know, what gets us out of bed in the morning that makes us jump. And, you know, I get the biggest bang out of just getting out and not just writing songs, because that's a very difficult process, even though it's a gift. But getting out and playing in front of public is the most rewarding thing I've ever done. And it just, there's nothing like it.
I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied.
Daniel Stratman with Satisfied. He just released a new CD called Painters and Poets. It's also available streaming at danielstratman.com. On the air, on the radio, on the web, on your mobile device, and streaming on your computer, thanks for taking some time to join us as we talk about the issues on the cities.
At IHM VCU, we've always been here for you. You are and always will be our top priority. We care about your financial health, and we are here. IHM VCU is a proud supporter of WQPT.
The future, that's where our minds are at Western Illinois University Quad Cities. We are innovators, searching for something new outside of the textbooks. Dog-loving, leadership-driven, world-changing. Whether you choose to study on campus or online, your future is designed on your terms. Start your future at wiu.edu/QC.
Public Affairs programming on WQPT is brought to you by the Singh Group at Merrill, serving the wealth management needs of clients in the region for over 35 years.